from the daily responsibilities and obligations and demands. And I believe that a lot of their fears begin to just kind of drift away. I believe there's probably a day when they didn't even have to stop and think about it. I wonder what we're going to eat. And as I thought about it, I wonder what we're going to see today. And the excitement of all the workings of the Lord. And I'm sure sometimes they just stood there and just looked at him. Can you imagine that? Just stood and looked at him. And I never want to lose that wonder of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, I want to sing for you today. I'm glad that when I received him, I'm glad he received me. And I'm glad I'll never have to walk alone and never be without the Lord. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm going to sing that simple song without him. Desire your sweet fellowship, and Lord, that we might have an ear to hear. Bless us now, Father. Take us and guide us and lead us in these scriptures. Father, do the work, Lord, the power of God in our lives, transforming us from sinners to saints. Thank you, Father, for what you've done, what you will do. We give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We notice here the Apostle Paul was praying for the believers here at the church of Ephesus. And notice he was praying that they would both know and receive the great provisions from God the Father. And as I was reading this familiar passage, the phrase jumped off the page at me. The Father. That is that all things glorious originated from God himself. He is the Father of glory. And the desire of the Apostle Paul is that we as the believer might receive from God all the great and glorious things he has given us. And as we mention, we are in need of a miracle. And as we sang, nothing is impossible to the Lord. And as I sang without you, oh, listen, what would life be? Thank God for Jesus in your life and in my life. Thank God for this taste of glory we received and what we will receive. If we continue to walk in faith and walk in obedience to the Lord, God is great. And as I mentioned about the disciples, boy, they had seen some things that I'm sure, I believe in the first few years, I have been rumored, I don't think they have slept at night.
That's right.
I just can't imagine. Did you see that fellow born blind get up? Did you see the expression on his face? Did you see him look and begin to look at creation? And he saw the trees and the birds. He knew the sounds. Now he knew it. Look. And don't you know they talked about that all night? And then you know when that leper fellow came and sat out there on the highway begging. And did you see him when he jumped up? And he took off running. And can you imagine? We should have followed him home and let him see what we know. I can tell you what, dancing around the living room with the young and Tommy and Karen home. Listen, and this is a great thing, glorious thing. After the ladders come out of the tomb.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, when you walk with God, you're apt to see some glorious things. And the God is the God of glory. He's the Father of glory. I like glory.
Amen.
I like glory in about every context I can think of because it's a very broad word. But in every context, I like glory. As a matter of fact, first of all, let's look at the word glory. The word means brightness, magnificent. It means honor. It means distinguished. The Old Testament root word means weighty. That is, of great power, great influence, great importance. Listen, we think of the glory of God. One aspect of that glory is the fact that God is life. He's life eternal. How glorious is that? Never the same. No circumstance or situation can ever change or cause him to have to change direction or course. Or he's always the same. And he's always true, he's always holy, he's always faithful, always dependable, and he'll always love us. And we rejoice in the glory of God, in the aspect, of course, of his importance and value. Nothing more important. We know this in our minds. We know we should put God first in everything. We don't always do it, but we know we should. Because there's nothing more important than God.
Amen.
There are a lot of things important to us, a lot of things we need, a lot of things that are necessities. And listen, we have to do all kinds of things, we have all kinds of obligations, we have all kinds of interests. But the truth is, we know it, we know it. And we sit down and think about it, we count our blessings, we know this, that nothing's more important than God.
That's right.
Now help me, Lord, to bring my practice up. That which I know to be true. But God first. Amen. The wonder of God's promise, God said he'll put me first. And then you'll see God's blessing in all these other things. I say it. And I'll say it again. If you'll put God first, listen, you'll see the work in your family. You put your family first over God, you'll see the devil do work. Please put God first in all things. Listen, God rewards us when we put Him first. God knows the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart, the Bible says. And so, listen, put God first. Listen, He is the true breaker. We find the New Testament word means to show forth perfectional excellence. Listen, how great, how good, how perfect is God? When I look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, all I can do is cry, woe is me. Because you know what? Jesus' knowledge and His practice are perfectly aligned. We struggle with that. The Bible says, lay hold upon eternal life. Are you saved today? Say amen.
Amen.
Are you going to heaven?
Amen.
Well, then that's a certainty according to the Word of God. But Jesus lived every day, and His life reflected that knowledge. He knew God was with him. He knew he had a purpose when he returned to the Father. And that impacted how he lived every day. He lived in the life and knowledge that he was eternal. And so, we see the impact that had in him in relationship to this world, right? Would to God we as believers that that same truth would grab our hearts and change how we live this life and the impact of this life. And so when I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm standing on him. That is a man who walked. Listen, he was certainly a man in every sense of the word. He had to eat, he had to drink, he had to have rest, he had to sleep. He had a desire for shelter, all those things. There's such a detraction from all those kind of things. I just stand amazed. And I stand convicted, Lord. There's a lot of things I know, but I want my practice to be in line. And so, I'm confessing to you, I got much more room to grow in this Christian. And desire. And so, we think of this word glory. It means brightness, magnificence, honor, distinguished. It means weight of great power, influence, importance. It means to show perfection and excellence. And so, listen, glory belongs to God. Everything pales in comparison to Him. Number two, not only see glory, but I see the glory of man. The glory of man. Man is able to prevent our society with the systems of honor, fame, fortune, and all those kind of things. But I'm reminded, the Bible warns us in Galatians 5:26, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Don't be desirous of vain glory. That is shallow, empty, and service. You and I understand that as we live in this world, we see instances of vainglory being all around us. And that which is very shallow, that which is very superficial. In my probably 60 years of paying attention, I find out that some most famous Hollywood people are some most disgusting people that ever walked on the planet. And yet they're bowed down to it and worship, and the cameras follow them in the newspapers. And yet, as I, when they open their mouths, I realize what a sorry lot of folks both of them are. And have been spoiled and given a sense of entitlement because we have given them glory. You know what you gain from that glory?
Mm-hmm.
You gain that glory. In other words, if some well-known famous actor walked in today, and we just simply treated him as a common ordinary sinner. Nice to have you. Good to have you. Glad you're here to worship the Lord. But I'm afraid we wouldn't respond that way. Let's be honest. walked in the back door. And he's reprobate. He wouldn't want him to sign the Bible. So let me find something to sign. Get a piece of paper or something. One signature. And we'd say, this is right here. Boy, here's the best seat. We just could probably go in there and send it. But listen, you gave me glory. You see, nobody gives God glory because God's glory is in himself. A God is, actually, it's not just what God does, but what he is. A God is perfection. God is excellent. God is holy. God is pure. God is good. God is love. Listen, God's eternal. His glory is self-contained. How Jesus said to the Pharisees, they wanted him to rebuke the children when they were crying out, Hosanna, Son of David. And as he said, if they didn't do it, God had the rocks to do it. Because God is worthy of praise.
Amen. Amen.
And so, we're surrounded by vain glory. We see actors who reach the pinnacle of fame. But it's not long to wait a while. They can't do a role anymore. Because they got too old. We occasionally come across on the computer, you'll see an actress. Listen, that was a supermodel type back in the 70s. And now she doesn't even leave the house because she's almost going to break her nose. Beauty fades. We've seen athletes reach the pinnacle of world fame. And listen, their abilities to play that particular sport leaves all people almost speechless because of the gift and talent they're given. And I grew up in the era, like many of you did, of Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest! He also proclaimed me the prettiest, too. I'm the greatest! But wasn't it a sad day when you see him devastated by Parkinson's disease and have to have help? Man's glory, it's certainly temporal and fading fast. The Bible warns us in 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withered, the flower thereof falleth away. We're just admiring the beauty of the flowers Barbara brought. It's absolutely, oh, the denim, is that what that is? We were trying to figure that out. Absolutely, it is glorious. We have to look at them carefully, make sure they weren't fake. I mean, just that. Glorious. But you know what? They just don't last. The beauty of azaleas. You better take a picture.
Yeah.
They don't hang around. Often said, big men of them, azalea with all his beauty and can make that last for about 6 months, he'd be a billionaire. Mm-hmm. But we have a greater appreciation for some to last. And there are several plants that last a long time. They flower a long time, but listen, some of them are the hardest to take care of. Isn't that the way it works in life? The beauty of a rose. A rose will keep blooming sometimes for a whole season. But I'm going to tell you, that's the hardest thing to fight disease and anything you'll ever find. If you can defeat black spot, you're better than 99.9% of the public. Listen, we like things that are beautiful, we like things that last. Listen, God's beauty has never faded. And aren't you glad today the Bible said this same Jesus to show forth greatness, perfection, and excellence. God is glorious. The Bible says that we praise and exalt him that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. As it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. And so, listen, you and I, as we sit forth our praise, I don't want to be one, listen, that goes around everywhere I go talking about some actor. I don't want to go around, listen, celebrating. Listen to some ball player, and every conversation, that's all I mention and all I talk about. Woo, man, I tell you, he's so great. And listen, I remember going through the period of the 80s where everybody wanted to be like Mike. because I want to be like Jesus and all like mine. And listen, his glory never fades. And listen, God is the Father of all things great, all things excellent, all things pure, all things good. Listen, he's the Father of it all. Comes from him. I'm thankful for the miracle he brought to my soul when I called upon Jesus, my Savior. I'm thankful for the miracle prayers he's answered when I called to him in great need and desperation. And he heard me and delivered me and helped me and blessed me and answered my prayer. I'm thankful with God in time of need. Help me pay a bill and put food on the table. I'm thankful, that he helped me when we were in the hospital room. And things didn't look good, but God showed up and great things happened. Listen to the child of God. He's the Father of all things good.
Amen.
And so listen, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to struggle to get through the message, but let me just go ahead and give you what we can. I want you to see the Father of glory wants to bring glory to your life. And you and I live in the whole mundane aspects of life and the cycle of life. Okay? You're born, you eat, you drink, you celebrate. That's a little morbid. But that's the cycle of life. Aren't you glad God brings glorious things to us?
Amen.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad there's more than the vain glory. Hey, you may be born, and you may be born with a silver spoon. You may be a rich man with a mansion. And you may get to have, all kinds of fancy types of RVs, and you may get to celebrate, and you may get to spend the winter on top of a mountain. You may get to spend the summer in Florida. But sooner or later, the glory fades, and sooner or later, you lose interest, and sooner or later, you lose the physical ability to even go and do things anymore. I can still be saying that. I want something better than that. All that's vainglory, because it's shallow, superficial, and does not last. The quick glory is redemption. Look back, verse number 6 and 7, chapter 1. And to the praise of the glory of his grace. Hallelujah. His grace is glorious. God is willing to do things for you. Nobody else would do or could do.
That's right.
And listen to what he said. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Thank God, I was nothing more than a heavy earth accepted. But now, guess where I'm at? I'm in the family of God. All by the miracle of God's grace. The glory of his grace. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know what you'll find? Now the glory of God's redemption, the willingness of God to save in verse number 8. The same in verse number 8. And the work of God to save verse number 7. A God in his glory, he was willing to save you. Thank God. It was by his will. It was for God who so loved him. It was God who had that desire. He looked down upon man, the height of his creation. And man chose sin. Man became a rebel. Man became an enemy of God. And this appeased him for the Lord. But God was still willing to save the sin. God wants to give glory. He's the Father. The glory of redemption, he's willing to save. The wisdom of salvation. How in the world? It can't be in the world. It's out of the world. How can the Holy God be reconciled to a sinner who transgressed? How could there ever be a reconciliation when the sin's already done? The transgression's already made. We stand under the sentence of condemnation by the law. How in the world can God, who will not compromise, a God who's holy, how is it in the world that he can reconcile, this problem, this crisis of a holy God and a sinful man? But because he loved us, God found the way. And the way would never have occurred to man if he lived to be in you. by sending his son to become a man and pay the sin debt. And listen, counting his righteousness in our place, taking his debt, our wisdom came from out of this world. It didn't come from within. No one could have ever dreamed that a God of such power and glory and such holiness would make that sacrifice in order to save a sinner. I want to tell you, salvation is glorious. Amen. The love of God is glorious. Amen. The willingness of Jesus to lay down his life for sinners is glorious. The willingness of God, who only means speak the word, would endure such shame and suffering and mockery and abuse by a band of sinners, and not say a word, but keep his mouth shut and will entire.
Yes, amen.
You see, that's beyond man.
Yes, Lord.
No man had the glory to do such things that Jesus did. And so I find the Father of glory, wants to send the glory redemption to the lives of those who will receive him. And we see his willingness, we see his wisdom, we see his work. For Jesus wrought these things by his own desire and willingness, that we should be to the praise of his glory in first trust to Jesus. Number two, quickly. I see in this text of Scripture the Father's desire to give glorious things, not only redemption, but also the Father's glorious revelation, that he would send forth his remnant. And we find the miracle of inspiration, that God would use a human vessel, and yet by his sovereign power, he would produce from that man the Holy Word of God. That, my friend, is glorious. You know why? Because everything man usually touches, or everything man does touch, has some type of corruption. You said I was talking about the medical field. I realize great research proves in the pudding. We understand great things have happened. I'm thankful for it. But I'm not stupid either. There is an element of corruption. Trace the money. Trace the money. Trace the money. Money's at the root. Trace it. It always does have some kind of impact one way or another. And the best things that could be done for men are somewhat restrained because of the corruption of men. But the best of men are men at best. And the truth is that in the workings of man's flesh, and the good things that he's done, and the glorious things that he's done, there's still an element of corruption. But when it came to the Word of God, God took common men, and yet by his sovereign providence, brought forth from human vessels the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Well, I'm telling you, this Bible is a miracle. God's glory.
Amen.
Yes.
In giving us the revelation from God himself. Knowing that all things, and has sought with every fire of his wicked being to destroy this book. And yet God has preserved it that you and I might know the truth. Notice in verse 17, here's what he says. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. God wants you to know him. I'm going to tell you, in a world of pagan idolatry with all kinds of gods and all kinds of books and all kinds of religions and all kinds of philosophers and every conceivable thing in the world, and some lost man looks around and he says, what in the world? They say this, that, and the other. Who says that? Where we're going, where we came from, this is life, this is God, this is how you find it. How in the world? true heart, he'll be led to the true light. God will make himself known when there is worship in sincerity and truth. God will make himself known. You see, every other pagan idolatry in the world, every religious teacher, every concept of eternal life and how to live life that's best and how to listen to all the mysteries of the spiritual world and all these voices and all these things, there's something they do not have. And that is the spirit of truth, the power of the Holy Ghost that brings the revelations of the heart. I have read countless testimonies, a sincere desire to the truth. You know what they ended up at the feet of Jesus at Calvary. Because the power of the Holy Ghost in God. I'm going to tell you, that's glorious. The truth can be known. And you and I can know the truth that sets us free. And we can have truly the knowledge of God. I've never seen him, but thank God because of his word and because of his spirit. Thank God I know him and I know of God and I know about God. I know this who he is. I know his desire. I know his holiness. I know his love. I know his purpose because it's revealed unto me that is glory. Oh, I wish I had more time. The Father's glorious reward in verse number 18. He said, the eyes of understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of this call and what are the riches of the glory of inheritance. I'm going to tell you, God is not done yet with showing and giving his glory. There's great things yet to come. You know, I know this, we shall behold him face to face. And we shall see him as he is. And the Bible teaches us that he's coming for his church. And that good eye shall be snatched out of his place. And we shall be forever with the Lord. And he's going to prepare us a place in all the glory. And he's made us joint heirs with him. There may be a person who had a relative. And they said, man, I sure wish I was in his will. I can tell some stories about the neighborhood down here, but I'm not going to because some of you might know the names of them. That got in the will and people got out of the will. I had a tribute to people last year. But aren't you glad? I'm just the hell of a sinner, but Jesus has included me, and I am joint heir with Christ. I'm in his will. He deserves it all. All the glory. The only person fit for heaven was Jesus. He won the victory. He's the one that defeated death and sin, the devil. He is the one that conquered it all. But the Bible says that he is bringing many sons to glory. Thank God the great things he has in store. Let me close with a couple of simple thoughts today. Oh, listen. In this life we live, sometimes we kind of begin to be a little bit trapped in some of the mundane aspects of life. And it's easy to become down and discouraged and depressed and think. And I'm sure you probably said this, probably your thought, is this all there is to life? Is this it? The answer is, you know Jesus, you're just here. And the truth is, I've just sent here to be a pilgrim stranger. My home is the Lord. Hallelujah. And God has glorious things to show us. And so, let me close with these thoughts. I don't need a preacher that closes a couple of times, so I'm trying to get it back. So, like I said, the worst words a preacher ever says, and in hope. But listen, I like glorious things, not vain glory, things that come from God. Yeah. And you know what that motivates, encourages, and convicts me? If you want to walk in faith and Lazarus is dead, and I'm just disgusted, and I'm just upset, and I don't want the Lord to let him die. We told him, well, in advance he's sick, he wouldn't go. It's a bad day, I'm not going. Can you imagine when Jesus come back and said, what did I miss? You want to say hello to Lazarus? You know, if we have more, God has to show us. And so, fellowship with him, walking with him, worshiping him, following him. And listen, without faith, the Bible says, you receive nothing from the Lord. The faith is the first essential requirement. We've got to believe and trust in him. Faith is his own mountain, part of the mountain. But listen, it's only by faith that's consistent, true, that you're able to see the glory of the Lord. I like to see glorious things. I like to experience glorious things. But they're only found in God. And remember this, little phrase, only time used in the Bible. He's the Father of glory. The Father of him. I want to be close to him.